We're here to talk about the hottest button issue that has plagued the Switch 2.
My goodness.
And it's game key cards.
Facts.
Facts. Facts. This has become a real problem. And there are just so many people that are like passionately against the idea, you included, the idea of a game key card. And we want to dig into this a little bit, talk about what is going on here. Why did this become such a sensitive topic for people? And also, there's some origins at Nintendo around maybe what kind of started the idea of a game key card. And then finally, we want to answer the question of like whether or not we think Nintendo would ever put a first-party game on a game key
card. Can't believe you're even uttering these words.
Scary, scary thoughts.
Oh my gosh.
But yes, let's dig into this because it's become a real big deal.
Yeah, and since the Switch 2 first got revealed, there have been a couple things that have been these flashpoints where people have, you know, really passionately spoken out about it.
Yes.
Like for a while, when we first learned about the system, there was the whole debate of, is it new enough or not? Does that even matter?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of came and went. The $80 price debate, people shouting, drop the price. That, you know, obviously right after the Direct, that was the hot, intense thing that was happening there. I wouldn't say people have moved on from those topics, but I think people have just, at some degree, accepted, like, okay, I'm going to have to pay $80 for this. Whereas this issue, which first spiked so much when we learned how much of the Switch 2 launch lineup was on a game key card.
Right.
And it was like a shocking moment. It's like, wait. Everything but like three games,
right?
Is going to be a game key card. What a bleak future we're staring down. Like this has been the hottest of topics since.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I think this launch, just the Switch 2 launch in general, has definitely been one of the launches where there have been more of these like sort of dramatic outcries and these issues, and a lot of it is around misinformation because even when people were starting to learn about a game key card and starting to realize that, you know, almost 90% of the Switch 2 lineup was on a game key card. There was a lot of like fact finding that the consumers themselves had to do, which I think really exasperated the issue because Nintendo never came out officially explaining what this is and why. So that I think that just like made it way worse because people were trying to like find the information, find actual confirmation of what exactly this is. And that's just made it way worse than I think, you know, it already
is, which
is unfortunate.
So, you know, over the months since we first learned about these, we've addressed game key cards in, you know, various videos, various podcasts, but we wanted to do this standalone video just to give it kind of the proper depth of conversation and ourselves, like, try and come up with some
wrap our heads around it a little bit.
Around, like, why is this so hot, Bushin? Why has this endured? Where might this be going?
Yeah, I think the question is, where might this be going, which is the scariest thought for a lot of people who just really dislike this, and it's a scary future.
You're fear-mongering now.
I'm not.
You're preying on me.
You look scared already. You look terrified.
So,
anyhow.
Why don't we just start, again, for people who are maybe, you know, just coming into this conversation quickly, like, what is a game key card? To kind of go through the facts.
Right, right.
So, it's a physical Switch 2 game card that does not include the full game. So, it actually includes very little data on the card. But otherwise, looks indistinguishable, except for some fine print. There's a tiny little key icon. It is called out, but you could miss it if you were not like looking closely at it.
And if you're not following the conversation around this,
right.
to this degree, you see it on a shelf at a Target.
That's the game I want.
You are going to just pick it up and think it's something else.
Grab it.
Yeah.
But what it does is it acts as your key to downloading the full game from the eShop. So you put it in to your Switch 2, and then you still need to download the majority of the game off of the eShop.
So if you don't have an internet connection, it doesn't
work. There's nothing. You can't do anything with it.
So if you're on an airplane and you have...
You better have done it before.
Oh.
Exactly. And the card does need to be in your Switch 2 to play the game. Otherwise, it still operates like a traditional full physical game card. You need to have that in. So, you know, I think this is going to be an interesting discussion because I still am very much a proponent of the physical games.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas you've moved on mostly to digital, but you have a lot of great reasons for doing that. So maybe just briefly, like, why is digital something that works for you?
Yeah, for me, like, I just really like having all my games that I'm playing, like, easily accessible to me digitally. Like, I travel so much with my Switch, and I imagine that I'll be doing the same thing with
my Switch from the kitchen to the couch to the bathroom.
The bathroom. Absolutely. Okay. Everyone does that. Okay. Come on. Let's not pretend.
I'm always on the road.
On the road. Driving that big white bus.
Yeah. On the road to the refrigerator.
But yeah, the one of the wonderful things about a Switch in general is that it you are taking it with you places. And I just love the idea of having it on the system itself digitally. And I'm a really, you know, scattered kind of person. Sometimes I'll lose those cartridges. Like,
sure.
I will lose
it's
them.
It's happened, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just notoriously bad about keeping track of my stuff. And also, like, I don't like to have a lot of clutter in the house.
I know this about you. You live a pretty minimalist life.
I'm very minimalistic. Yes. And I'm not the kind of person that has like a whole room dedicated to like displaying all my physical games and things like that. And, you know, I've seen those people with the beautiful Switch libraries where it's just like, you know, rows and rows and hundreds and hundreds of physical Switch games. Like, that's kind of my nightmare, honestly. I just don't like having like all this plastic crap like all over the house.
Totally, totally.
So that's why I have really moved to almost like 98% digital. I think the only physical stuff that I buy is usually for like a special reason. So if it's like a collector's edition that I really want, I would go out of my way to get and even pay extra as well to get. And then, like, you know, we were in Japan and I wanted to pick up like a souvenir, and I bought Echoes of Wisdom physical.
Yeah.
But it was a Japanese case.
Version.
With the, you know, the Japanese, like, art on it. Like, that was, like, almost like a souvenir for myself, like, commemorating the trip. So that's the only physical stuff that I buy these days. But you're very different, you know. You for your Switch 2, you paid extra to get a Mario Kart World physical.
Not,
you paid $80.
I am not getting the bundle. I did pay the extra $30 to
you
get the physical Mario Kart. Yeah, I think for me, it's like, you know, I've been gaming for so long and I've had physical games for so long. I do sort of think to the future a lot, where it's like, gosh, recently I have been playing these NES games and games that are, you know, 30, almost 40 years old. And I think, like, in the future, it's like, well, I would probably like to be able to do that with these systems that I have now. It just feels very oppressively like the circumstances are changing and it's going to be harder and harder to do that. But that's not something that I want to completely give up. So that's kind of my thinking around that. But, you know, I think for you, like, I completely understand the reasons that you have for being a fan of digital. And I mean, it's like, I own a Steam Deck. Everything on there is digital. Like, I see it myself. You're like, yeah, there is some convenience to that. And then people have reasons for being, you know, fans of physical games. I think with game key cards, it's kind of like a solution in search of a problem. I have yet to see the passionate defense of game key cards of like, this is why I love this. It's like, at best, people are kind of like lukewarm on it. Like, what's the big deal?
Mm-hmm.
That's the strongest defense you have ever seen. But if you dig a little bit deeper, like the facts behind it, kind of dig into some Nintendo business practices that they probably don't want to air out all that much.
So we want to get into that. But I do have one last question for
you,
being a very like physical kind of person. Like, a lot of people say, you know, the reason they don't do digital, and I kind of understand this to a degree, but I'm so, like, focused on the now that I haven't really thought too much about the far-flung future, is, like, you don't own your game if you buy it. It's, like, a license. And you see that a lot. Like, I just downloaded a game the other day, and immediately the splash screen when I was downloading was like, this is a digital version of this game. You are buying a license.
Yes.
You do not own this game.
Well,
so do you feel like physical, being like more physical, is that part of the reason around why you are going that route?
Maybe a little bit. But again, when I say it's becoming more oppressively against that sort of thing, like, there's nothing stopping these companies from doing some update to a EULA or some patch. It's like, oh yeah, you never owned this in the first place. It's vanished. Like, there's so many examples of things like that. Again, versus like an NES cartridge. It's so analog.
You just have it.
Kerchunk it in and it's going to work. So it does feel like the walls are closing in on those of us who
could they do
who
that
feel
to
this
like
way.
A modern game?
They can do whatever they want. They'll do whatever they want.
So, like, even if you, let's say you owned a physical copy of Mario Kart World, yeah, they could change their policy. But there was something like,
we didn't update the license to this song that we had in. We gotta
get... So now this game doesn't work anymore.
It basically doesn't exist anymore. Poof. I mean...
And even if you had a physical version, it wouldn't matter.
They could make that invalid. Like, that's a very extreme example. I don't think there's a lot of examples of that
happening. Right, right, right.
But if that were to happen, it'd be like, yeah, this is where it's headed.
My point is, like, having a physical version doesn't really eliminate that possibility.
I think it helps a little bit, but it's not foolproof.
It's not foolproof.
I would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, people will point out, like, yeah, there are a couple benefits of game key cards. You don't need to buy Nintendo does not need to purchase the actual storage on the game key card to hold the game, so you can get it a little bit cheaper. Very unlikely that a game key card is going to be $80.
Right.
Because...
But it's eating into your margins.
Exactly.
The storage on the cartridge.
The storage...
We did see some data around, like, the options for... what size cartridge you could get to put a game on. It's pretty limited.
It seems like right now there are three options for releasing a game. Full digital on a 64 gig game card.
Yes.
A game key card, or just digital. Those seem to be the three options as of now.
There's not like a 32 gig version whatever.
Or down the road when they need something bigger, what are they going to do then? I don't know.
Right.
So that's a big question that's looming. But again, people will say, like, well, it's probably going to be more cost effective. So that's one of the benefits you're getting. But then also... if you want to sell a game key card, you can, because the ownership just transfers over to whoever has it. So I could lend it to you, and then you would download it.
But I would have to download it.
As long as you have that cartridge in there, you can use it. Yeah. So people will point out, there are some conveniences beyond just traditional digital games. But I don't know, now that Nintendo's introduced the virtual cards, game key card, those lines are getting blurred. And again...
every game that I have digitally now, it shows me right away that this is your virtual card for this.
Right. I do
Here's
think
how it works.
There are a lot of benefits to going full digital. But again, like, this seems to be this weird half step that's trapped in between that gets neither the benefits of one or the other.
It's like the worst of both options almost, which is I think why people are like, why though?
Right.
Why does this have to
exist? So like a lot of the drawbacks that people will point out, like I was just saying, it doesn't give you the benefits of physical or digital. Mm-hmm. A lot of times these are the only physical versions that are available.
Yeah.
So, again, if you have this long-term concern around the viability of your library, or like a server shutdown situation where it's like, how am I going to download this? We've already started to see, a lot of these, Sony, Nintendo, they've started to slowly wind down.
Yeah.
And we have not yet reached a point where things that you owned, you can still re-download those. But again, it's like, how long is this all going?
Because someone is maintaining those servers.
Right.
Somebody's
shelling money to keep that operation.
I was going to say exactly that. Is that it costs money and resources for that company to do that.
Right.
And so at any point, they can make a business decision that's like, well, it's not worth
my
money
or resources.
So if in 10
years Nintendo says, well, these Wii game re-downloads, we're just going to stop doing that because that's run its course.
They haven't seen a lot of traffic there.
Would be not good.
Then it's gone.
Right.
Then it's gone.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So... I think it just begs the question of, like, well, if these offer so little in term of benefits, then why did Nintendo introduce it at all? Why did they think this was a valuable thing for them to expend the effort to develop and introduce at all? And I think, at Nintendo, they do recognize that the industry is moving towards something that is more digital first.
Yeah.
And even, like, you may be surprised, like, the last couple of years... the totality of Nintendo sales, more than half of those have been from digital products.
Right.
So,
and it's not just with video games too, it's with any kind of type of entertainment. Like, no one really is buying like a Blu-ray.
Right.
People are just streaming their stuff. Like, that is the sort of the norm when it comes to broad
people
entertainment.
People are used to that.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, exactly.
And as the platform holder for the Switch 2, it is Nintendo's responsibility to garner a strong range of software for it. And I do think that the game key card is appealing to third parties in that
it's a lot more cost effective.
You don't need to buy the expensive cartridges to put your game out. You don't need to worry about, oh, I need to compress it down to 64 gigs or whatever the exact amount is. It's like, yeah, you can still have something that can sell at retail, that can sit on a shelf. Mm-hmm. You can have that retail channel covered. And your game can just be your game, and you can put it out there on our platform kind of pain-free. They're eliminating pain points for developers and publishers who might otherwise either just, like, walk away from the Switch 2, or it's like, well, do I have to do, like, a digital-only thing that I kind of don't want to do that?
Yeah.
They're just trying to make this platform as viable as possible for
especially
as many developers.
Especially in the early days where you need that third-party support so much to, again, build up that incredible library that the original Switch had. You know, you really need to, like, kick that off really strong.
Right.
So I can see them doing that. And of course, they're all businesses. They're all worried about their profit margins.
Right.
Like, think about the profit margin that you lose putting it fully on a very expensive cartridge. Like, it might not just be worth it to you as a business. So
exactly.
You have to make those, like, business decisions.
Exactly.
Even though sometimes those decisions don't feel as consumer friendly. And
exactly.
You know that there's going to be a trade-off there.
Right. Doug Bowser himself got asked about this, and here's what he had to say. When you look at game key cards for us, our goal with Nintendo Switch 2, similar to what we were able to accomplish on Nintendo Switch, is to have the broadest and deepest library of content we possibly can.
Yeah.
And that includes our publishing partners. And game key cards are a way that our publishing partners are able to bring more content onto the platform, deeper and larger, more immersive content on the platform. So that's basically what we were just saying.
Exactly. Yeah. That makes sense from a Nintendo perspective.
Yeah. So we actually checked in with one of our other former Nintendo employees who worked on the retail team and worked on a program of, if you've been to any, you know, retail store that has a pretty big Nintendo section, you'll notice they have these cards. Like, you can buy an eShop card of a specific game, but it sits on a shelf.
Yes. It's almost like a gift card.
Exactly. It's like a gift card, but it's right next to your, like, NSO, you know, subscription or your eShop credit.
Right.
And they have, depending on where you go, they have, like, dozens and dozens of these.
It's like a whole, like, you know, shelf of those things. But you can put stuff on those cards. Like, you can put a Mario on there.
Yeah.
You can put, like, Nintendo-branded stuff
right.
on there.
So we spoke with them, and they just gave us a bit of background on their thing, because I was so curious, because it's like, this feels like an extension.
Or the predecessor.
Right, kind of the next level of this program that they helped to introduce. So I really wanted to get their thoughts on, like, how are they feeling about this, knowing they're probably a little bit closer to this thinking overall. So what they had to say was, you know, even going back to the cards that you can get now, Nintendo really wanted a physical representation of a digital product in a retail store.
Yes.
Which makes sense, because Nintendo really values the retail channels more so than a lot of other gaming companies. You can see just like those sections are much more built out, much more investment is put into making them look nice and upkeeping them. So that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, went on to say that it was an idea that was really widely adopted within the company. Nobody was really questioning it. I was like, yeah, this seems like a great idea for us to kind of have it both ways.
And I think at the time, this was around, you know, when the eShop was first starting to gain a lot of momentum, like Nintendo was really starting to see, like, a huge amount of profit. And they make so much more money off of the digital games than, this is very obvious, than a physical version of it. So, of course, it's going to be a segment of their business that they're going to pay attention to. And I think, you know, this is around the time where it was kind of really taking off in a big way, and they realized how lucrative it is. So, of course, they're going to be looking at other solutions to kind of fill that gap or even try to transition people over to an all digital world, because they're making a lot of money that way. If that is sort of the habits of consumers in the future, of course they're going to try to take that step to to bridge that gap between physical and digital. So,
right, right.
Yeah, really interesting.
And again, it started as kind of, you know, a low lift sort of project, and nobody really had very high expectations for it, but it went on to become a very popular program.
Yeah.
So again, like we talk about like these concerns of like, oh, well, will the consumer reject this kind of thing that is such a shift in the way that we buy and consume games? And in this case, it really wasn't. So that obviously gave them the confidence of like, all right, something like this, this is actually maybe more in line with how people are getting things now, want to buy things, want to use things, than maybe we thought.
Yeah, and it could be another situation where it's, again, like the vocal minority, the people that are holding on to, you know, an all physical future. It might be a smaller percentage than we think, and Nintendo might be, you know, looking at that bigger population of more, again, their expanded audience, the person that is just going to be a casual consumer of Nintendo products. And then, like, you know, whoever is going into the store and buying something, they won't know. They're not going to read the fine print on that box that is a game key card. They're not going to know.
And if they see that, they're going to be like, well, what does that mean? I don't know.
I don't know what that means.
I have the game in my hands. Here I go.
I'm holding it. Yeah. I'm going to buy it for little Timmy.
Yes.
So, you know, it's sort of like, which audience is the bigger potential audience for Nintendo just service? Mm-hmm. And I think that is going to be the answer to whether or not they will continue something like this in the future and maybe even expand this in the future.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
So we had to ask the inevitable kind of worst case scenario question because Nintendo has suggested, like, yeah, they don't have a plan to use a game key card right now at the moment, but down the line, is there some scenario where they could start to release first-party games on game key cards? And again, this person does not work at Nintendo anymore, so this is just their, you know, informed thought of having worked there for a good while. And they said, don't rule it out.
Yeah.
Because if they get evidence that game key cards are kind of indistinguishable for the mass audience, if it's not impacting sales, then they might be like, well, this is a lower cost option that still, again, still lets us accomplish the goal of having the thing in a store. Then maybe it's something, you know, we had largely made it available for partners. Maybe we should get on this ourselves. If the stuff, if it sells exactly the same, if it makes zero difference in the long run, give it a shot.
Yeah, and again, the potential expanded audience won't know the difference.
Right.
Like, again, is that the larger audience that Nintendo wants to, you know, capture and market to, or make it easier for, or make it more cost effective?
Yeah, and if they were to do it, you can imagine like the first games to do it would not be something like a Fire Emblem or a Xenoblade. It might be something like a Ring Fit Adventure, or a more
expanded
casual leaning game.
It's
like a test, like a weather balloon. Like let's just see what happens.
This is just like what happened with the game prices.
Yeah,
when they tested it with a $70 Zelda game and saw people's reaction to it. So I can see them, you know, testing the waters a bit, putting a toe in the water a bit to see, you know, what the eventual like reaction is going to be.
Right.
But I think, you know, this person was also very clear in saying like there is going to be some form of physical.
Yes.
That the physical nature of video games is not something that's going away. And Nintendo is not going to take that away.
Right. But again,
like, they realize the importance of that.
But the counter to that is like this is not the full physical as we have known it and loved it. This is kind of some weird, twisted, nightmare version of that.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, but yes, maybe it is only for those expanded audience games. Maybe it's only for special circumstance game. This game is so big. This is the only way.
Yeah.
Or else we got to charge you, the consumer, $200 for it or something. Or like, you know, for any of these like really more core games, we will commit to putting it, the full game, on a physical version.
Yeah, and, unfortunately, Nintendo has yet to be burned from any of these big kind of fan backlash moments. It's always been kind of an intense moment to sit in it and to feel that from the fans. But again, ultimately, like, do these things ever sell less? Is there any negative impact to Nintendo's bottom line? They haven't really experienced that.
I would love to see. I mean, again, we will have to wait to get all that data and see what happens. Right now, we're sitting in a place where it has not come out yet, and we haven't gone through a period of time where these things exist in the wild and people are like buying or not buying them.
Right.
So I would love to see that data. Like, does it matter? You know, is it going to be something that people are like widespread? People are like, yuck, I'm never touching a game key card. Or is that segment of people not touching it, but like the broader consumer and base is like, yeah, I don't care.
And again, like we kind of,
or I can't tell.
We kind of joked about this, but again, imagine the next Zelda game. It's like, oh my gosh, this is the biggest game Nintendo's ever made by such a far and wide margin.
Yeah.
There's no way that we can get this onto a 64 gig cartridge. It's in 4K. It's so big. There's so much data. Oh my goodness. And oh, we haven't come up with a larger format that we can use, or we can get ready in that quantity for the launch of this game. So, well, we could try and get that. Storage ready to go, but it's going to cost $100 like your Grand Theft Auto 6, or we could put it on a game key card and it'd be $70. that's a nightmare scenario that, again...
Two cartridges.
Like two discs.
Two discs.
Oh, that's going to cost even more. Then it's going to be
$120.
I don't know.
Two cartridges.
I don't know.
No, that's $160 because 80 plus 80 is
Well, I don't know. I just think, like, you know, 5 years from now, when games are at a very different point on the Switch 2, like, what could that be? But again, we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
So those are kind of the assumptions that Nintendo has. So then I think you have to ask yourselves, are those the correct assumptions about what these third parties want? And I think right now they kind of are, because we are seeing the vast majority of the games at launch are game key cards. There's only a very small number. Cyberpunk.
Yes.
Rune Factory.
Yes.
And obviously Mario Kart is pure, true physical. Almost everything else is a game key card or all digital.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, we have seen some comments of third parties saying, like, yeah, we kind of had to go out on a limb to make this decision. Like, we didn't necessarily have all the information at our fingertips.
Or even understand how people are going to react to it.
Yeah, when we had to decide. But again, when you see a company like Sega, like, they have many games on day one that are all on game key cards. It's like they didn't even spread it. They're like, well, let's put a Yakuza. That's got a really dedicated fan base who appreciates physical. Like, they didn't even do that.
Yeah.
Oh, Puyo Puyo Tetris. Like, that's a casual game. Put it on a game key card. Sonic and Yakuza, that'll be pure physical. No, everything's on a game key card.
Yeah.
So
they just made a blanket decision.
For whatever reason, that was very appealing to them. But the people who opted for full physical, they have been very vocal. So CD Projekt, they had this great quote about this that I'll read. It's not a matter of getting away with something. Nintendo at physical retail is still strong, and retail is in general not going anywhere. I don't think we'll soon experience a reality where we're just having all digital games. But again, it's especially important for the Nintendo audience. We maybe could have gotten away with it, but is there a point? The right thing to do was to have it out on the cartridge with a plug-and-play experience. Advice to other studios, he adds, do not underestimate the physical edition. It's not going anywhere, and Nintendo players are very appreciative of physical editions that are done right. So that's CD Projekt with a very inspiring, some might say, based quote.
Yeah, I feel like they are a studio that really understands the audience.
Yes.
And this might be specific to the Nintendo audience. Like, people that are playing on other platforms may not have this kind of visceral reaction.
Right, right.
So this is good on them for recognizing the audience in which they're launching their game to.
Yeah. So then Marvelous is the other company with Rune Factory that has a full physical game, and they got asked about this. And something that you learn, this was an interview with, I think it was RPG Site. This is Ken Berry, who's like the head of Marvelous in the U.S. He speaks up right away in this interview. It was like, I am personally a proponent of physical games. So you have the guy at the top who's making the decision.
Yeah, this is a personal decision, though.
Right.
Like, what if the guy at the top was a digital game?
Exactly. But I think the distinction with Marvelous is, again, you talk about understanding your audience.
Yeah.
All those games that they're putting out are pretty niche. Like this, like Rune Factory is not a mainstream game,
right?
To the same degree of a lot of other games that we're seeing, and they very smartly know what their audience wants, and what they want is a physical game,
right?
So
right,
for exactly. them, that is a very smart. This is the correct decision,
yes,
for them to make, and they even worked with Nintendo to come up with this kind of hybrid cartridge, which I'll be honest, I still don't completely understand how this works, where you can put it in a Switch, you can put it in a Switch 2, it'll just play the right version.
It's crazy.
So good for
it's
them.
Magic.
Good for them for kind of pushing against, like, are you sure those are the only options? We'd like to look a little bit deeper into this.
Yeah.
So props to them for figuring
that's amazing,
that out.
Honestly.
I don't have a clue how it works. I'm not
But
gonna
I think
explain.
It's pretty magical, isn't it?
Yeah. It's great. So again, you see these companies that care about the audience, that understand the audience, and then others that are just like pack it and ship it, boom.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah, exactly. So
let's talk about why we get so mad about this.
Well, I'm not...
You're going to sit back.
No, I'm going to sit back, but I'm definitely not buying this. I would never buy a game key card.
So you have zero interest in a game key
card. That seems so dumb, because right. It's like, if I wanted a physical game, I would be buying like a special edition. I would be buying like a game for that super emotional reason.
Yes.
So then I definitely need this to be like an actual game.
Right.
You know? And if I'm not going to do that at all for 98% of my games, why would I buy a stupid piece of plastic? That's so dumb.
Right.
So I would just buy
it's the worst of both worlds.
It's the worst case scenario.
To twist that phrase around.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for me, like, it feels like the only games that I'm going to be getting physical are, you know, obviously first party for as long as they'll do those, and then this handful of other games that I want to get, like a Cyberpunk, I have that pre-ordered.
Right.
Physical as well. I'm gonna try and get it the real reasons about this. This is through my own experience and why I feel this. Other people, you know, may feel differently. They may have other reasons. Please leave comments and share those.
Yeah,
I think this
can
be
a
good
open
therapy session to just get out every feeling that
open,
everybody has about
forum.
It. So it's like, yes, you can talk about like the functionality of it or the, kind of the nuts and bolts of it. This is an emotionally driven topic.
It is. That's why people are so
and
mad.
That's why people have such a visceral reaction about it. And it gets into like people's true long-term love of video games. So in my house, I have, you know, every platform has a box or several boxes that has the system. It has all my games for it. It's got everything representing like kind of my time with that. And we earlier this year and last year, we spent a lot of time going through all of these and revisiting my full collections. And I've got a lot. Like I've got, it's like a big closet that's full of this stuff. And it is really fun to go back and explore those and revisit those great memories that I had with those. But kind of starting with the Switch generation, I started to realize like, I have a lot of Switch games. I have a lot of physical Switch games, but actually the majority of my games are digital. At Nintendo, we very luckily, we got games for free. We got game download codes.
Yes.
But I was like, gosh, I'm thinking of, you know, again, 10 years down the line when I want to revisit my Switch collection, what's my Switch box going to look like? It's going to be a little more bare bones than some of those other ones in terms of what is the totality of my collection? What is the totality of my experiences with the Nintendo Switch? It's going to be hard to take that stroll down memory lane and really soak it all in. And then I think about what it's going to be like with Switch 2. It's a system that hasn't even come out yet. And I'm already kind of bummed out of like, I'm really not going to have that. Like my physical collection for this is going to be so paltry in comparison because, you know, so many games I'm either going to be getting digital. And it just seems like the options for getting actual physical games are so very limited.
Yeah.
Unlike you, you know, you kind of have this, you know, I'm moving on with my life kind of thing. I just can't move on.
Yeah. I don't feel that way. But I kind of get the sense that this is kind of like looking at old photographs.
Yes, it is.
It's like when you have an album that your mom has given you from your great-grandmother, you don't toss that into the trash can.
It is a physical manifestation of a certain point in
your
time,
life.
Of a certain memory time in your life that you want to hold on to for as long as you can. Yes.
I don't equate that with video
that's
games,
fine.
But you do. And a lot of people do.
Right.
And a lot of people think about like their favorite, you know, time period playing. You know, we talk endlessly about like, oh, the best generation for Nintendo was X. And the reason why people say like such and such is the best generation is because that was a significant point in their life. And it's an emotionally rooted nostalgia-driven kind of reaction. When you look at that game, you're holding the physical copy of that SNES game, you think about yourself as a 10-year-old having, like, the moment of your life, yes. You know? So I totally understand that sense of it. And if you have equated these physical games to these important, like, pivotal moments yes. in your life, of course you would be mad.
Right, it's like that's being taken away
That's being taken away from yes. you. And by some horrible corporation. Right.
Doesn't mean that I won't have fun with these games, but that kind of longer term yeah. kind of ethereal connection that I'm sharing gone. With it has been severed.
It's gone. Yes. Yeah. And it's a scary...
To speak as dramatically as I can.
To speak in the most hyperbolic way possible.
But it's true.
I'm not joking. Is being ripped out of my chest. No, just right. kidding.
So then, you know, I mentioned that I have a Steam Deck. I've got everything. And you know, yeah. again, I don't necessarily feel as strongly about it on these other platforms as I do with Nintendo. Yeah. So I think it's interesting to kind of delve into that.
And that's why it was interesting to see all those comments from, you know, the Project CD Red people yeah. and the Marvelous people talking about, like, the Nintendo
right.
audience.
Right.
There are so many people in the Nintendo audience that feel the same way you do, that have... basically, like, attached, you know, significant life moments yes. to the physical versions of these games that they've played. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a very interesting, like, psychological thing. Someone should study this, honestly. Some professor.
It's a psychology project, for
yeah,
sure.
Some yeah, some Cambridge. You guys right. should study this or something, because right. it's really interesting that it's very specific to the Nintendo audience.
Right. Obviously, we have the longest, you know, I grew up with the NES. That, yeah. That's a yeah. long time. I have the longest term connection with that company.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's the company that I associate myself with the most. They also have the resources to not make this an issue at all. It's like to just cover the cost of this. Like, they got right. literally billions of dollars of cash in
yes.
the bank.
So don't give,
like,
them an excuse to not do this.
Please don't nickel and dime us more.
They're not some indie dev that's like, right. I gotta squeeze out every
more
penny.
Than you already are with know? The Switch 2, so yeah. it just kind of hurts. They also, it wasn't long ago that they understood this the importance of this physical manifestation of this thing in a physical yeah. form. That's what Amiibo was. Listen.
We launched that product.
We saw how dinky the game integrations in Amiibo were. Why were people buying that? It was not so. Oh, I'm gonna save
it
my.
It was a collector.
My figure fighter in Smash Brothers. Like, no, it's like we want to have the physical manifestation of this thing that we love.
Yeah.
That was like 10 years ago. You know, look at how far, like, we've come, and now it's like, oh, these games are being taken away. But at the same time, they have opened theme parks. They have opened stores worldwide to sell us more and more physical trinkets when all we want is a physical game.
Isn't that amazing?
Come on.
Instead of a game, you can have a popcorn.
That was the realization that really made me snap. I was like, look at how much. We just went to the Nintendo San Francisco store. So great. You can get so many physical things, yeah. clothes, knickknacks, whatever, collectibles. Yeah. But all we want is a game. Can we just have that? Is that too far? The thing that made you the billions of dollars in the first place that brought us all here, the game? Can we have that?
I do wonder if there is a significant shift in people's, like, shopping because of the you know, the popularity of streaming, of digital things when it comes to entertainment. Mm-hmm. It's like there is a pretty large segment. I don't know the exact data here, but I feel like there is a pretty large segment of the consumer base that's like, if I want something physical, it's going to be like a teacup or like a sweatshirt.
Yeah.
And this is really me. You know, if I want a physical manifestation of my love for Nintendo, I'm going to buy an Animal Crossing sweatshirt
yeah.
and wear it around the house while I play my digital games in bed.
Tom Nook plush and sleep with it or something.
Exactly.
Right.
I would rather have the Togepi Squishmallow than a physical game, because for me, that's yeah. like more of an emotional connection than the physical version of an NES game that doesn't work anymore that I've had, you know, 20, 30 years, right. whatever. So right. I think everybody's emotional tie to something yeah. is different. So I wonder if Nintendo is seeing that too, and that's why they've made this shift in terms of, like, focusing more on the merchandising, focusing more on the theme park, like, experience. Like, oh, I'll never forget my day at Super Nintendo
Better
World.
Hope they don't come up with a game key card for a plush, or they'll take that away too.
No, my Togepi.
So I completely realize, like, if I go up to some guy on the street and I start telling him this, like, oh, this is why I feel, this is why I'm mad about it, he's going to look at me like I'm insane. But I realize that this is an emotionally driven thing.
Yes.
This is in my mind. This is more than, again, just more than, like, the nuts and bolts of how a game
yeah.
key card works. That's not what this is about at all.
Yeah, exactly. And I wonder how many people are feeling
all of you get it. That's why we're here doing this.
Well, we got,
and,
we
I'm,
wanna,
and I'm not ranting on the street corner.
We want
to GameCube. Although maybe that would help. Maybe I should get out there with a bullhorn.
Get the sandwich board yes. on. Say no to game key cards.
Yeah. Maybe that would help.
Just like that guy. That's I gotta like do on what the street. I can. But yeah, I would love to hear people's comments around this and like why you feel so strongly about it.
Yeah.
Because I think everyone has like their a different way in. But I do think this angle of like. This is emotionally connected to your
yes.
the significant parts of your life.
Just self-identity in a lot
and
of
your
ways.
Identity yes. is like a huge part of this, and no one's really talking about. People are just saying, I'm mad. I can't believe that Nintendo's doing this.
Yeah.
But it's like, why though? And we yeah. need to kind of get to the root of that, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, people have said like, oh, you know, we can boycott these, we can stop these, we can get them to change course. So I think that's fair to examine, you know, what's possible with that. It's going to come down to how these things sell.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, again, the dedicated fans who want to boycott, that's fine. But again, there's
how many are those, are there?
Millions of people out there who are just going to stare at this thing. And you know, I think for most of them, it's not even going to register what this thing is.
Right.
So I am skeptical that this can be stopped in any sort of a way.
I'm always skeptical that any of these things can be, quote,
right.
stopped.
I mean, it's possible that some of these publishers see this and get freaked out, like, even without... You know.
And they can see the good examples of, like, Marvelous and
yeah.
CD Projekt Red and how much fan favor that they gained
right.
from doing a non-game key card, and they can just say this is an easy way to, like, please... the fans.
Right. I'm not
so
talking
that
I mean,
could
like,
be it.
Like EA's not even doing a game key card. They got a code in a box. But like, you know, going further down the spectrum,
oh,
like there are companies
oh, that's even worse. Yeah.
That again have that sort of similar relationship with their fan where again, maybe with these first games, they were like, well, we'll try it out. And they see this and it's like, even though it sold okay, maybe we better go back to the other thing.
Yeah, what's going to happen when CD Projekt Red sees, you know, 80% of their profits from their Switch 2 version of Cyberpunk is... digital.
I'm not worried about them. You know, we don't need to put them as the problem. My goodness.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
But what if they see that data? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know the data.
All right.
The data is not, you know, we won't see that until, like, months later.
Yeah. But you pointed
out... But that's what these people are going to be looking at.
Yeah,
that's
pointed out earlier. It is true that, like, almost every sort of media has made this transition already.
Yeah.
Like, music... movies, like mm-hmm. we're streaming everything, and
yeah.
most people are happy with that. That has brought conveniences to them that, mm-hmm. that they appreciate and they like.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think Nintendo, you know, when they came up with this, they're like, this is a good compromise. This is going to be delivering something to the fans. Whether it's something they can come out and say the exact reason of like, we need to make things cost effective for publishers, they can't come out and say that. That's going to be a bad look if they just flat
yeah.
out came out and said this. But I think deep down in their hearts, they're like, this is good for the platform.
And also, you know, they do think it's important to have a physical something in retail.
Yeah.
Because they know that there's going to be people that are like strolling by the video game aisle or whatever and sees a game and will just get it.
Right.
And that person doesn't care if it's a game key card or not. They're just going to buy it because they see it. And they know the importance of that. They're not going to give up on that channel at
yeah.
all.
Yeah. They would say, do you want this game on the system or not? Because in some cases, that might be what it boils down to.
Right.
Because some of these companies are not ponying up to do the full physical. So despite all of this, despite all of the gloom and doom, I do think that physical games will endure on.
Yes.
Because even with all of these examples of movies and music, like they're still like really dedicated, devoted, vocal fan bases.
Yes.
Who are built around the physical versions
the
of those.
Special editions will never die. Because they
yeah.
can make more money off of
there's
it.
That. There's, you know, Blu-rays, vinyl, CDs.
Vinyls,
I guess CDs are
CDs
coming
are,
back.
Cassettes are coming back.
Darn, I can't
vinyls I love.
Cassettes are the game key cards of music. They suck.
Oh, cassettes are awful. They deteriorate
yeah,
so quickly after you rewind them and
I don't
stuff.
Completely
like,
understand.
Oh my gosh,
I don't understand that.
We're aging
that.
Ourselves, but I totally had a Walkman with cassette tapes.
Right.
It was terrible.
But, I mean, being honest myself, it does kind of feel like that's where things are headed,
yeah.
where... the majority of the action happens on a digital format. Again, hopefully in the pure digital where there are some of those benefits versus
yes.
the game key card that seems to offer zero benefits.
Right, right.
But I can't see the physical games vanishing.
No, I don't think they're going to vanish.
Completely.
I don't think so.
But this could be a bumpy ride the next couple of years as they try and work out what's going to work for what audience.
Yeah, we have to watch and see what happens. We have to see this initial batch of sales, how they do to inform the future decisions. But I don't think that physical is ever going to 100% go away. I don't think Nintendo will ever do that. I think they absolutely, talk about someone that knows their audience. They absolutely understand the audience that they are, you know, their most dedicated audiences that just want this because they have this emotional tie to their brand and they want to cultivate that. So yeah. I don't think that they're going to go out of their way to, you know, to sever that bond in the words that you use. That was very severe. but yeah, I think it's an interesting thing for us to watch and see what happens in the future. I'm just hoping that there is a wonderful, beautiful Metroid Prime 4 special edition, because that's what I would like to get physical.
Okay.
Can you please make that, Nintendo?
Sure.
Please?
Keep it coming.
Keep it coming.
All right. Well, there we go.
That's it. That's
I'm feeling
it.
A little bit better.
Do you?
Now
are you really?
Got some of this stuff out.
Just
yeah.
gotta put it out there, you know? Yeah, really interesting because we have such different viewpoints on how we consume and how we interact with our games.
Yeah.
Even though we're both like very
long. But interesting that we both came to the conclusion that game key card sucks.
Oh yeah, I mean these are awful. These are the most.
This is what we can come together.
This is like
on.
The worst. This is the worst thing ever. But yeah, it's coming from either side. They suck.
Right.
But it is interesting to have two different viewpoints from. I mean, I'm as big of a Nintendo fan as you are, but I just have a different kind of attachment to it. You know, it's just interesting how everyone's different and everyone functions differently. So yes, please tell us nicely. We're not the enemy here.
This comment section. Ooh.
We are not the enemy. Whew. Let me just tell you. We hate them too. Okay, I'm just putting it once more. We're not fans of this. We do not like this. Please don't come at us, okay? But tell us nicely and be nice to each other in the comments about how you feel about this and if you see any benefits at all to a game key card. Or if do you have like this very strong emotional attachment like Kit does to all of your old physical Nintendo games? We can do our own psychological experiment right here in the comment section. So,
yeah.
Okay. Deep breath. We'll see you later.
Bye.